Half a day, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
He wrote because they weren't. And he's saying, listen, you be patient in your difficulties. You're going through it. You be patient.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. On today's program, Pastor Herron turns our attention to the book of James. We're going to listen in to part of the first message in an extended look at this general epistle. Today's introductory message is called, How to Be a Difference-Making Disciple.
I want, if you would, take out your Bible and also turn to Acts 12, because this might be a backdrop to what we find James penning these letters. Kind of a study of a book, of a Bible, something like preparing for a trip. You'd like to know where you are and where you're going and what you expect. So today, I'm just going to really look at an overview of James. I might answer four questions. If you're taking notes, you can jot these down. And these are four questions I'd like to answer. And if I may, first of all, start and understand that the book of James asks the question, when was that book written? I think it's important to put it in its historical context. The other books we're going to be studying this year, we studied Jude, which was written about mid-60s or so. This book of James is one of the front end of the rest of these, what we call general epistles. These were books that were written primarily for multiple different reasons, but basically the goal was to be able to help these disciples in this era be different in their world so they could make a difference, hence our idea of making a difference. Now, if you put that as a backdrop, understand that when that was written was incredibly important. But along with that, understand who wrote the book, and it was James himself. There's a lot of different people identified who James was, but he himself, the Bible says, look at James 1, verse 1, he identifies himself. But notice, he says, this is who he was, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He identified himself as the servant of God and the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the only times that's mentioned. And it was quite a humbling statement for James to make that. I think sometimes he thought, you know what? I don't want to identify myself with me being the brother, the half-brother, Mary and Joseph. I was one of those. I was the brother of Jesus. I lived in his home. I've mentioned this. So did another brother named Jude, who wrote the book that we looked at about a month ago. Both these guys grew up with Jesus, and they didn't get it. They were so close to the truth, and they missed it. This is what James is saying. He says, I'm a servant of God. Now, this is not James, the son of Zebedee, the brother of John. He was the most prominent to bear the name. He was a fisherman called by Christ to follow, become a disciple. That wasn't him. He probably was married. 1 Corinthians 9:5, when Paul was kind of defending his right as an apostle, that he said, don't I have a right to be married just like Peter, just like the brothers of our Lord? It certainly could have been James, could have been Jude. But the reality is, James was a leader. He was the one that wrote the book that became so significant and important, and he identified himself as a doulos, as a slave. I'm a nobody, but God's allowed me to be used. And he was burdened. He was passionate. He was very practical, and he was intensely spiritual. And when you unfold and unpack his book, this letter, you realize this guy loved people. He was burdened for them to move forward and be different spiritually. This was the kind of guy that you knew he had so much personal information about the Lord growing up as a kid. You knew that he saw him as a teenager. Very little said when I read Luke chapter 2 about Jesus being brought as a baby to the temple. And then it went on to state that he grew in wisdom and stature and faith with God and man. And from that point, Jesus' life, really from a young, from 13-year-old, his bar mitzvah, all the way up till his public display of ministry. Very little said. Jude knew. James knew. And I think there was an element of, man, I just didn't see it. I was around him all the time. And Jesus loved him as a brother so much that Jude ended up, and James was visited by Jesus himself, documented by Paul in 1 Corinthians, when he showed himself to James. Could you imagine that conversation? Come alongside and sitting next to James and saying, James, let me explain some things to you. Do you remember when we were growing up? And all of a sudden things clicked. He understood. His eyes were open. Oh, this is true. This is my half-brother. He's the Messiah. He's the promised one. And then he lived a life of consistency. And so burdened about that church in Jerusalem because they were so pressured. Fact is, in Acts chapter 12, you find what kind of day was this that he wrote this letter? Look, if you would, in Acts 11, he says in verse 27, these days came prophets from Jerusalem under Antioch. Acts 11, verse 28, they stood up, one of them named Agabus. They signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world. There was going to be famine. There was going to be pestilence. There was going to be, crops were going to be destroyed. The weather was going to be bad. That's what it was prophesied. They came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. It happened. You know what the disciples did? The disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto those brethren which dwelt in Judea. These were the people. So the fact of the matter is, he identifies who he is, and he identifies his audience. These were the people that were brethren. These were Christians. He's writing to Christians that the world was receiving a drought and famine. It was tough financial realities for them because they weren't able to pull in the crops. They didn't have a lot of monies. And on top of the fact, they were Jews. And the Bible says, remember, let's go back to James here, and we'll stay here for this last bit here. And James, when he says James, he's the author. He's the one that identified himself, but he also identifies his audience. The Bible says, to those brethren that are scattered abroad. These are the people, he said, I want to greet you, but their location is scattered all over the known world outside of Palestine. These are the people that are scattered. It's an interesting one. It means in the dispersion, or has the idea of scattering of seed. So when the Jewish believers were scattered in that first wave of persecution in Acts 8, and then the famine that was coming on, you find this picture of people that didn't have a lot. They were outside of Israel, which you find Israel right here, the nation of Israel. And then they weren't living there in Palestine. They were spread all over because of the persecution of the Christians. And that's who James wrote this letter. Passed it on and passed it on so that the believers scattered so far away were isolated. They felt like nobody cared. They were in a place that they weren't just physically and financially having pressures, but persecution was going on. And they were Jewish Christians. It's one thing to be a Jew. Nobody liked the Jews. They had no power, no authority. They weren't a conquering kingdom. They had their golden years way back 1,000 years earlier with David and Solomon. But for 1,000 years, they're nobodies. They have no government. They're ruled by Rome. They're spread out. They're Jews. Who likes the Jews? And on top of the fact, we know they are Christian Jews. Now on top of that, even now that I'm a Jew and I've come to know who Christ is, even the Jews, my brothers, don't like me. You want to talk about pressure. You want to talk about I'm a nobody. And James identifies himself. Hey, listen, I'm a doulos. I'm a slave. And I'm going to write to you because I'm concerned about your welfare, and I'm concerned about where you're at for your own life. And that's why not just the question of who wrote the book and when it was written, but let me give you why did James write the book. I think it's important to understand. You find it in verse 2. He wrote because they were going through difficult tests and they're about to facing temptation to sin. And he's writing them with a burden that they would be mature. He's writing them and challenging them to look clearly and honestly at their faith to see if it was genuine or not. They're going through difficult tests. Notice verse 2. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or multiple temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith is working patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that you would be perfect, you'd be mature, you'd be grown up. And the rest of the book identifies problems that these people were having. What were they? What were those problems? Let me just click off a few with you if you're taking notes, because he says in chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, they were becoming impatient in difficulties. I mean, if they were patient, well, he wouldn't say, oh, by the way, be patient in your problems. He wrote because they weren't. And he's saying, listen, you be patient in your difficulties. You're going through it. You be patient. Here's James. He had the authority to say it. He was right to say it. He was the pastor. Everybody knew who he knew. And he identifies himself humbly. So he says, listen, you be impatient. Don't be impatient. I don't want you to do that. He says, number two, you find it in chapter two. You find the idea of talking, but they weren't walking. They weren't living the truth. He was saying to them in chapter 2, verse 14, and we're just, again, just kind of touching like a rock across the pond here. I'm just touching on six or seven of them. He says, listen, in chapter 2, verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and he has not works? Can faith save him? Martin Luther didn't really like this book so much, but the reality is that, hey, you say I have faith, the man show it. Oh, you know Jesus? Hey, show me. Show me. Because the reality was, this group of people were talking about, but they weren't living the truth. Oh, I love the Lord. Amen. I'm at the gathering at Jerusalem here, and I'm hearing James preach. And they walk straight out of there, and they're living just like the opposite. People that were dispersed way out, they're all by themselves, and they're feeling like, you know what, nobody cares, nobody knows. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, but they're not living like it. He says that's a problem, a big problem. Number three. He identifies in chapter 3, verse 1, they had no control over their tongue. He said it this way in chapter 3, verse 1, my brethren, don't be many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. You know what? He had a group of people in that church. They were saying, hey, you know what? I can be a teacher. That's what I want to be. And James is saying, hey, listen, you know what? You are going to have a greater responsibility, a greater condemnation. You sure you want to be a teacher? You had a certain group of people that the reality is they were out of control in their tongue. In fact, he says in verse 2, many things we offend all. And if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, he's able also to bridle the whole tongue. And the rest of chapter 3, or at least up through verse 13, deals with that whole area. You know what they were doing? They were talking. Oh, yeah. You know what? I think I could do that. I'm so spiritual that I don't really need that preaching. I'm so spiritual that, you know what? I'll just kind of hang here and I'll pray for you, brother, because I could do what you're doing. And their whole tongue was one totally out of control. James was so burdened for them to say, you know what? You are like bitter water and sweet, and it doesn't match up. You've got problems. Then he says, number four, not only that, but he says there's fighting, there's coveting. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Whence come wars and fighting among you? They're coming hence, even your lust to warn your members. He said, man, you got to stop fighting. You are fighting against each other. You have desires against each other. Don't do that. Now, if that's not enough, look at chapter 4, verse 4. He says, you're adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world, you know what they were at? They were very much saying, hey, I want to be a friend of the world. Hey, yeah, okay, man. Hey, buddy, you know, come on. Yeah, okay, I can come over here. I can eat this. I can do this. Yeah, but you say you're a Christian. Well, you know, hey, I got liberty, brother. And so, man, it was creating messages that James was so concerned about that he wrote a letter. That was one reason.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.